You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It is indeed Saturday evening, June the 27th, year of our Lord, 2015, and you are listening to a broadcast under siege. You are listening to the voice of a people under siege, and the voice of a man, yours truly, who has rushed to the front lines this week and taken the heavy artillery. Because I know there is a cause greater than myself that needs to be served. I'll tell you, our enemies have won several huge Supreme Court victories over the course of the last 3 weeks. In fact, I think you could safely argue that over the course of the last 3 weeks, America has fallen more precipitously than she ever has at any three-week period in the history of this once great country. I'm not saying we have fallen further in the last 3 weeks than we have over the course of the last several decades, certainly not, but there has never been a three-week span of time in which the America, as we once knew and loved, has become so eviscerated. And I'll give you a quick recap of those three Supreme Court victories, or losses for our side. The Confederate flag no longer enjoys constitutional protection and can be banned from state license plates while other emblems are protected. The disparate impact standard has been upheld in federal suits against municipalities and counties in so-called civil rights cases. No need to show a single act of actual discrimination. The states have no right, as of yesterday, to legislate on so-called homosexual marriage. And it is noteworthy to look at just who made these decisions. You look at the makeup of the Supreme Court. We talk about diversity being the strength. How about a little diversity on the Supreme Court? What they want is diversity in everything, except, as Keith Alexander points out, diversity in everything but thought. On the Supreme Court, you have one gentleman of African descent. You have three individuals of Jewish descent, one Hispanic, Sotomayor, who may well be Jewish herself. Five of the nine Supreme Court judgeships are held by people that lack European descent. Not one, not a single Protestant on the entire court. How long will it take for our people to catch on to the fact that this is not our country anymore? This is not your country. And I say that with the 4th of July coming up, and I'm going to talk about the Confederate flag later in the show. If you want to tune into a voice of courage in the face of overwhelming odds, you have tuned into the right show tonight. We are going to proudly defend the Confederate flag. We're going to stand up for that symbol of nobility, the flag of the South, under which her heroes fought. We are going to stand up for that flag, but I'll tell you, it is going to be damn hard for me to go out on the 4th of July and feel anything but contempt for the American flag. And it's not because we've lost a couple of Supreme Court battles. This has been a constant bombardment, the complete evisceration of European-American culture on this continent, and it really did start. It really did start in the 1860s. But I'll tell you this before I toss it over to Keith very quickly. We have rushed to where others would run, to a destination in which others would run. I have done a lot of media interviews this week. Certainly the Political Cesspool is known nationally and internationally as serving as an unapologetic voice for traditional Americans, for true conservative thoughts and principles. We have made a name for ourselves with friend and foe alike, and because of that, with all of the hullabaloo in Charleston and the way that's been exploited by the media, we'll talk about that. My goodness. God Almighty, has it not gotten worse since last week? The way they have shamelessly exploited this to advance their interests is just absolutely despicable. But I've done a lot of media interviews this week, including with one of the two most powerful newspapers in the world, the Washington Post. I think between that and the New York Times, you have the two newspapers of record for the empire here. And I'm going to tell you about that experience. There have been some good experiences. I was on with the local CBS affiliate, and they accurately referred to me as a conservative talk radio host, the conservative political cesspool. They quoted me fairly. So that was good. But that's not always the case. Keith, very quickly, a word from you, and I'm going to tell them what happened with the Washington Post, and then we're going to get to our first guest.
Well, to understand just how how unrepresentative today's U.S. Supreme Court is.
All right, turn your mic on.
All right. To understand just how unrepresentative of real America the current U.S. Supreme Court is, Protestant Christians make up a majority of the people on in the United States. There is not a single Protestant Christian on the court. No member of the U.S. Supreme Court presently is a Protestant Christian, one thing. Secondly, there is no one on the Supreme Court that hails from a state that does not have a coastline. In other words, the interior of America has been shut out completely from representation on today's U.S. Supreme Court.
And to be fair, Scalia and Thomas are, I would say, certainly the best of the nine. But
I know, but I'm just talking in terms of demographics,
right,
which is the way that the left is always seeking to get some type of diversity. But the diversity they want is, you know, is not the diversity of objectivity or reality. It's they want their people in place. The most important thing to understand, I think, is that even though the entire interior of the United States has no representative, New York City has five boroughs. They've got Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, whatnot. Four of the five boroughs of New York are represented in today's Supreme Court. If that doesn't show you the bias, the left-wing northern blue state bias of today's Supreme Court, nothing will. This shows you exactly why nothing has really changed from what our ancestors faced in 1861. They are looking at a federal government that is totally and completely dominated by our political enemies in another area of country, and the reason for secession that existed then still exists.
Well, there's much more reason. We have much more reason to secede than our ancestors did, and certainly they were right in attempting it as well. We have seconds remaining this segment. Let's quickly go to Chris. Chris, 30 seconds. Take it away.
James, this is a disaster of epic proportions, which I'm eager to hear y'all's take on it. But these people will not rest until the white Christian American is in the same place as a Zimbabwean. Your symbols are going to be illegal. You're going to be wiped out. You're going to be destroyed.
That's right.
Effectively, they are proving Dylan Roof's point for him. Now, he was wrong, and what he did was evil, but they are making his point. They are making his point. As someone has put it, you know, that'll never happen, and when it does, you guys are really going to deserve it. And right now, they have said, effectively, the Supreme Court has said, that you are going to be forced to pay for your gay black neighbor's wedding. You're going to have to be forced to pay for his AIDS medicine, and he's going to move in next door, and you're going to pay for his rent, and you're going to like it.
This is not our country anymore, Chris. I hope that it can be restored. I hope that we can reclaim America's destiny, certainly peacefully. But I tell you, until our people will stand up and demand that our rights, our heroes, our culture receive an equal place at the table, we're going to continue to backslide, and soon we're going to be completely off the cliff. I mean, we're falling now. I'm going to tell you about my experience with the Washington Post right after this break, and you're going to hear from Jared Taylor as well.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and a-peeling because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're going to get to our first guest of the night in about a minute and a half. But before we do, Keith, a very quick final word on what we were talking about in the previous segment. Go.
Okay, the Charleston shootings show that far from what the Council of Conservative Citizens has been accused of, and our show, nobody with a grain of sense on the right wants violence. Violence plays into the hands of our enemies. Violence is the worst possible reaction to the oppression that we're seeing right now. If Dylann Roof had not done this, quite frankly, I don't think this traction would have gone. This was a dream come true for the left, and they are using it to full advantage. So consequently, let us go on record for saying loud and clear, violence is not the answer, never is the answer, and we do, never would recommend violence under any circumstances. That is the worst possible choice you could make.
That's right. And because it has played into their hands, the media is exploiting this to fullest extent. And they are basically linking anyone who has healthy, normal, natural thoughts with regards to racial realities as someone who could potentially do such an act. And a lot of our people have been running for cover. I know not everybody has access to the media, but because this broadcast has been so well known and has gained such a reputation for its ardent defense of European Americans, we had a lot of interview requests come in. I kicked most of those to our featured guest tonight, who we're going to introduce in seconds. But I did take a couple because they seem to be related to the work on the radio specifically rather than the Charleston situation in general. Some of the interviews came out fairly well. As I mentioned, the local CBS affiliate accurately referred to us as a conservative broadcast. But I decided to do a print interview, which is totally against my
principles,
but it's against my strategy. I certainly have long had a policy that guides me to only live radio or television interviews. But I did an interview with the Washington Post because they asked, because it is a newspaper of record and because of the exposure. And it was just as horrible as you might imagine. I talked to this guy for an hour, was as polite and as convincing as one could possibly be. None of it made good points, very kind, in a very gracious manner. And none of it mattered, of course. He took, I think, one quote from an hour's long interview, And then the rest of it, and he even said, he gave me his word that he would refer to us as a conservative. I said, it's okay if you want to list what organizations, hate groups like the SPLC call us. You can say in their opinion we're this. But I'm telling you, this is what I consider myself to be. Didn't get put in. It's white supremacists this, white nationalists that, violence, white nationalists, violence, white supremacists. It's, and so everybody who has heartfelt beliefs, who has any common sense, is now linked to Dylann Roof. And if there's one person in the world who took more flack than I did this week, it was Jared Taylor, the pride of Yale, the editor of American Renaissance magazine. He's with us now. Jared, your take, first of all, on the way, and is it your opinion that the media has exploited this tragedy in Charleston to advance their agenda and narrative?
Oh, there's no question that the left's assault on the battle flag has been mightily, mightily strengthened by all of this. Everybody sits around and complains about how, oh, you must not exploit a tragedy. This is the most blatant exploitation of a killing I think I've ever seen in my life. All of a sudden, Dylann Roof apparently is known far and wide by everyone, especially by Yankees, to have pulled that trigger exclusively because the Confederate flag flies over the South. This is the most absurd thing I've seen in a long time.
Well, Jared, of course I agree with you. That goes without saying. And we're going to, I want to remind everyone that later on in this show, in fact, for about the last hour and a half of the show, we are going to offer you a very reasonable, but also an unbridled defense of the noble symbol that is the Confederate flag that's under such assault this week. But Jared, I want to get your take on the media interviews that you conducted. Again, when a lot of our people lacked the ability to stand up and to speak out on behalf of reason and common sense, you rushed in and you actually served as the spokesman during the height of the media frenzy, during the height of the attack on the Council of Conservative Citizens. You stepped in, and I know you were asked, but for all intents and purposes, you volunteered to serve as the spokesman for the council. First of all, what compelled you to do that?
Well, I thought it sent a terrible message to have no press response at all. It made the council look as though it was somehow had something to hide, was afraid of public exposure. And that seemed to me to be implicitly saying, yes, we are guilty. We have something to hide. Maybe we did inspire this Dylann Roof guy, because that was the way the council was always described, as the guy who inspired this wild and crazy killer. I thought it was absolutely essential that somebody come forward and say, no, if the council's website had any effect at all, it was to inform him, certainly not to inspire him, and that the council and all right-thinking race realists, white conscious people, absolutely condemn this kind of killing. It was vital that somebody step forward and say that.
Let me say this, Jared. This is Keith Alexander.
Yes, sir.
The left seems to have an allergy to the truth. No one has said that the black-on-white crime statistics that Dylann Roof said provoked him or inspired him in some way to do what he did were incorrect. And it's just apparently they have to control the conversation, as they say, and the truth is one of the first casualties. It's to be thrown overboard. Nothing, you know, and we've talked about this before here in the show. Apparently, the SPLC inspired a fellow named Floyd Croydon to come after the American Family Council's headquarters in Washington, D.C. Family Research Council, because he read on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website that they were a hate group that were opposed to homosexual marriage. Yeah. Now, why is there such disparate treatment between the Council of Conservative Citizens website provocations, supposedly, and that of the Southern Poverty Law Centers?
Oh, I think we know the answer to that question. It's because the Southern Poverty Law Center is in perfect tune with the zeitgeist, and we are in perfect tune with the truth, the two of which are often at complete loggerheads. But I would point out to you that there were efforts to try to refute the cold, hard statistics about interracial crime. In fact, I had a very interesting exchange with the Longview paper in Texas. They had printed the statistics, and then apparently they got cold feet, and they scurried over to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, who produces the statistics, and got somebody to explain to them, well, there's another way to look at this. The way to look at this is to think that blacks had the same proportion of victimization by whites as whites had of victimization by blacks. They said that is the proper way to look at statistics when, in fact, of all the interracial crimes, 500,000 or so committed every year, blacks commit 83% of them against whites, and whites commit only 17% of them against blacks. Now, I won't go into the reasons why. There's statistical and interesting arithmetic reasons why it's true. What the Bureau of Justice Statistics woman said is true, but it is a completely deceptive way to present the statistics. So they did their best, once the statistics were out of the bag, to hide the ball and make people think, oh, there's not a real problem of interracial crime. I wrote an article about this that's on our webpage now. I think, as I say, it takes a little bit of explaining to understand why this attempt at obfuscation is in fact true. But when you think about it, it is really a contemptible attempt to try to whitewash the reality of black-on-white crime.
And we would encourage everyone to go and check out Jared's amazing website. It's one of my daily reads, amren.com for American Renaissance, A-M-R-E-N. Again, folks, we're going to take a break. We've got a caller from Pennsylvania that we'll take immediately afterwards. Jared Taylor sticking with us through the commercials. I think there were three people that had access to establishment media this week that held the line. Yours truly, Jared Taylor, and Sam Bushman. I mean, it was a thin line. It was a thin line. But we did our best, and we're going to give you some behind the scenes with that when Jared comes back to tell you about more of his exploits as a defender of the truth in minutes.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder, irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
There seems to be a problem here. I'm channel surfing on the telly, searching for the real news, but blimey, the American cable networks all seem to be reporting the same news. That's when I stumbled upon DailyKen.com. DailyKen.com sniffs out the news stories the others overlook. DailyKen.com doesn't try to be politically correct. Rather, DailyKen.com works hard to find stories ignored by the mainstream media. DailyKen.com adds commentary, insights, and sometimes a touch of humor. Well, there you have it. DailyKen.com. No more cable news networks for me.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key.
Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm aware a lot of people want to call in tonight with regard to the media attention and all of the interest in the program, and certainly everything is heightened to a fever pitch right now, but we have a very full show this evening, so we're going to take a quick call and just a few seconds, make your statement. We're thankful for the call, of course, but very busy tonight. We've got a lot of ground to cover, but let's go now to Clef in Pennsylvania. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, hello, James.
Yes. Doing well.
I was just thank you for having me on your show. It's my first time calling, but I would just like to say I see this whole stuff with the roof killing as being a symptom of a disease that people do not want to diagnose correctly. It just sounds like they want to, I don't know, they want to treat some other symptom or something. And rather,
well, how would you diagnose the disease? How would you diagnose it?
I would diagnose diversity as the problem. And it seems like nobody wants to say that that's the reason. It seems like they...
Well, here's the thing, and thank you for the call. As Jared has written before, the history of race relations can be summed up in one word, and that word is conflict. When you force people of different cultures, different religions, different languages, different heroes, et cetera, on down the line, when you force them into the same living space, you're going to have conflict. But, of course, even with that, it is never an excuse for violence. Absolutely not, period. And as Keith said a moment ago, that only plays into their hands. I want to go back to Jared right now. Jared, talking about the experience with the media and the exploitation that the media has done of this tragedy to advance their narrative, which certainly only serves to harm our people, you did more media than anybody by far this week in terms of speaking out and up for our people. You are a hero, and I want to state that publicly. I count this man not only as a friend but as a hero. Heroes don't have to be dead. We have living heroes, and Jared's one of them. How many interviews would you say you did this week, Jared?
I probably did about 60 in one day, if you can believe that.
Wow.
I spent the entire day, beginning at 7 in the morning until 1 in the morning the next day, nonstop talking to media. It was really quite astonishing. Absolutely nonstop. Excuse me?
I think you were about to get into what I was going to ask. I want to make sure I get these questions in because time is fleeting. What would you say were some of the most recognizable entities that reached out to you for comment? Obviously, with 60 in a single setting, you pretty much talked to everybody. But what would be some of the most noteworthy?
Oh, the big news networks, CBS, ABC, CNN, and then in addition to that, the papers were USA Today, Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, Associated Press, Reuters, and then there were the big overseas people, The Independent, The Guardian, also the National Post from Canada, and then I was interviewed by Al Jazeera. I would say that probably in that one very long workday, nonstop, maybe 50 or 60. It was really quite incredible.
I was just going to point out to the audience that to keep in mind that Jared did this as a volunteer, out of the goodness of his heart, to stand up for the truth, knowing that he was going to be walking into a media meat grinder. I would ask you, Jared, what was the obviously, we know in general what you wanted to convey to the media, but what was the most important thing you wanted to work in with what little time they gave you, and was it well received?
I really wanted to make two points. One was that by no means did the council encourage violence, and that it was completely wrong to say that the council had in any way inspired this Dylann Roof guy, that we put out information that was hard to find. And the fact that it was hard to find is part of the problem. That's one of the points I very much tried to emphasize. Dylann Roof comes to the council webpage, and all of a sudden he discovers that most interracial crime is black on white. That was a big surprise to him. I tried to get people to think in terms of the possibility that if this had not been a surprise, if black on white crime were recognized as an important social problem in America, and if Dylann Roof had some sense that the country's trying to do something about it, maybe he wouldn't have killed those nine people. That was one of the most important points I tried to get across. As you can imagine, I got nowhere with that one.
Well, I mean, and certainly my experience was very limited when compared to yours, but I was pleasantly surprised in at least my dalliance with the CBS affiliate here in Memphis that they printed my full statement. And the last thing I said was, and it sort of echoes what you were saying there, is that certainly our prayers go out to the families of the victims there in Charleston, but that after the healing begins to occur, we hope that America will mature enough to where we can have an honest conversation about race rather than one being subjected to a one-sided lecture. Of course, I don't really have much hope for that. I do hope it happens. I don't have much faith that it will. But
because the left is in charge. The left is in charge of the media. That's one of the hallmarks of liberal domination that we're seeing come to full flower in the last 3 weeks.
The other point that I tried to make, and I made almost no headway with this too, was I said, look, right now, what is the most important thing for us to ask ourselves? It is, how do we prevent something like this happening in the future? And I said, all I see going around us now is the idea that we're going to ratchet up once again all of this browbeating of poor white guys about slavery, lynching, segregation, Jim Crow, stuff that a guy like Dylann Roof had absolutely nothing to do with. I said the result is going to be to try to pour all of this racial guilt on some poor guy who doesn't feel guilty at all. I said the idea
is
to try to get all white men on their knees begging for forgiveness, but for some white men, it's going to make them hopping mad, all of this nonsense. And so I put in a petition for exactly what you said, James, an honest dialogue about race, not just this one-way street of white guilt, white guilt, white guilt. I said that is going to produce more Dylann Roofs.
Well, I mean, I you know, you hate to imagine that, but
yes.
At some point, right, you're going to have people that, and of course the fact that he was on drugs and he had a lot of problems before
he
found the truth with regards to racial realities, but of course no one reasonable can be held accountable for a psychotic reaction to the truth. And we talked about all of that extensively last week. But you know, I just want to point out again, ladies and gentlemen, that now is the time to show courage. I mean, we are under fire more than ever before. They're trying to link all of us who think sensibly about these issues to Dylann Roof, and it's just despicable.
But we have the truth on our side, and the truth, as the Bible says, will set you free. And with the truth and God on our side, who can be against us?
Well, we hope that that's the truth. We know that's the truth, but we hope it applies in our case here. But, you know, you've got people doing their best to provide strong leadership. And I think, again, without American Renaissance and Jared Taylor, and to a lesser extent, myself, and certainly Liberty News Radio Network, there would have been, I don't think, anybody taking a public stand in the media. Now, there was a lot of websites that covered this, quite frankly and candidly. But in terms of getting out there and being in the media, you had, there may be a couple of others that I'm ignorant about, but I think certainly, Jared, less than a handful of people that were out there taking it to the media and trying to punch back. And that is why Jared Taylor and American Renaissance is so deserving of your support, ladies and gentlemen. I know not everybody has the access to the media that we do. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the audience tonight that would have spoken out at least as good as we did this week if given the opportunity. But we have the opportunity, and we try to make the best of it, and that's why your support is needed. You might not have the access to the media, but you can certainly contribute to the people who are out there trying to serve you, and Jared is number one on the list, in my opinion. And Jared, is there anything else you would like to part with and leave our audience with as food for thought with regard to this whole contemptible situation?
Well, I think that you're probably going to cover this in great detail, this question of the battle flag. To me, it is just astonishing that people from outside the South, people with no understanding of the history of the South, the way Southerners think, lecture Southerners on how they are supposed to interpret their own symbols, their own flag. The arrogance of it, the utter arrogance. If Japanese were telling the British that somehow the Union Jack was a symbol of imperialism, colonialism, the British would say, take a hike, it's our flag. But you have one Southern Republican after another saying, yes, we were wrong. I find this utterly contemptible. It just dismayed me to see grown white people crumpling like that when outsiders, people who know nothing about it, tell them that the way they appreciate their own symbols is wrong. I can't believe it. Well, I have to believe
it. Well, it's because the left has such control of the media that people get beaten down like this. It's something that happened since the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement.
I agree. That's a reason, Keith. That's a reason, but there is ultimately no reason for any man, if you consider yourself to be a man, to be this cravenly and this cowardly. And you're right, Jared. We're going to talk about this extensively in the last half of the show tonight. But it is a symbol of nobility, of resistance to tyranny, of determination. It, to me, is a symbol of family. When you attack the Confederate flag as a descendant of somebody who died in Shiloh, you attack my family. And that is very personal to me. And that is something that I cannot let slide. Jared, God bless you, brother. Godspeed. And thank you so much for all you do.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much for what you do.
Jared Taylor, everybody.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a treat for you, I understand. And, of course, you know the last segment of the first hour is always Scoop Stanton's segment. But in addition to Scoop's report this evening, we have the one and only Sean Bergen. And I just want to say, embarrassingly, that I've been spread so thin this week. I've been intending to call Sean back for a couple of days. I received, Keith, the most gracious, kindest, encouraging voicemail of my life. I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday night. In addition to all of the stuff been going on, this of all weeks, we had people in town staying with us for a few nights. But Sean Bergen left me the most incredible voicemail I've ever received, and I'm going to save that voicemail. That voicemail will never be deleted. With that being said, I welcome both Scoop and Sean to the show, and I have no idea what you guys are going to cover, but I look forward to listening. Take it away, Scoop.
Good evening, everybody. As you know, I got Sean Bergen on the line. It's been a busy week, not only just for James and the council, but for our rest of America. Mr. Bergen, since you are the astute reporter for the political cesspool in New York area, why don't you take it away?
Well, yeah, you're right. It has been a very tumultuous week news-wise. And, James, I got to tell you, it's an honor to have you as a friend. And you should know that I will stand side-by-side, shoulder-to-shoulder with you, no matter who decides to come down on you. We are in scary times, I think.
Thank you.
When you look at what our federal government is doing and what they're capable of, and just to the extent that they can intervene and override in our lives, it's getting kind of frightening out there. That's okay. We're tough guys. We're going to fight back. We're going to fight back with our words. We're going to fight back with our spoken and written word. We're going to spread the message, and we're not going to back down. We're not going to be intimidated by these folks. But I was driving through New York City last night through Lower Manhattan, through the West Village, otherwise known as Gay Heaven, and I can tell you that the Supreme Court decision to constitutionalize or to make a gay marriage a constitutionally protected right in all 50 states was it was kind of ground zero for the celebration. There was a lot of folks out there on the American left have been pushing for this for about the last two decades. I think they've made a much bigger deal out of it than it really needs to be when you consider that, according to the Centers for Disease Control, less than 3% of the American population is gay, and when you consider the people who are of marriage age, it probably affects less than 2% of the American population. So I don't quite understand what all the hoopla is all about. But if they want to get married, I guess they're going to do whatever they want now. But what they may have unwittingly done here, you know, big press for this now over the over social media, is that by legalizing, making gay rights a constitutionally protected right in all 50 states, they may have also made concealed carry a protected right in all 50 states. There is a growing movement on social media discussing this. It looks like it's starting to really gain some steam, and there seems to be some legal validity here. Now, you know, when the Supreme Court steps in and sets legal precedent like this, they open the doors for all kinds of things to rear their heads. And I just read today on the Democrat Party's official online PR agency, Politico. Politico is now trying to make a case for why maybe polygamy should be the next thing to be legalized. And then after that gets legalized, then I think all bets are off. I think every freak show in the world is going to get invited to this circus. And we're going to start to see people marrying their siblings, marrying their parents, their dogs, their pet rocks.
That's it. Sean, this is Keith Alexander. If I were a betting man, I'd be betting on bestiality. It'll be some Episcopal priest somewhere beaming out, "I now pronounce you man and sheep."
Sean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that may already be happening, it certainly presents scary times when you consider, when you redefine marriage in this way. I'm really concerned about what the future of marriage holds, and if what.
Well, you know, it's an assault on marriage, Sean. I think all of this, no fault divorce, feminism, and now gay marriage are a three-pronged attack on the American family, on the nuclear family with a father, a mother, and their biological children.
Yeah, it's a war on tradition. It's a war on family. Yeah, go ahead, Sean, please.
I would also add to that single motherhood. When you look at the way that single motherhood was promoted, incentivized by the government, and then glamorized by people in the Hollywood entertainment field, you know, part of the what I consider the institutional left, that would be the liberal media, academia, entertainment complex. And I know it all sounds so Oliver Stone, but, you know, I think this case, it really does apply. They have, it's an assault on marriage. It's been an assault on the family that's been going on really since the advent of post-feminism. And it's a three, it's a four-pronged attack, because single motherhood has not only destroyed, I think, in a large respect, African-American families, it's also had a cascading catastrophic effect on our inner cities. And of course, we've been watching that unfold over the last year as we've been talking about its great effect.
Well, you know, Sean, this is Keith. Remember, it all had its root in feminism. Remember when, I think it was Gloria Steinem said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And that's where the impetus came. That was like the seed that germinated and became single motherhood.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's where it began. When you start to denigrate men and fathers in that way and make them, render them irrelevant, you've already started down what is a very slippery slope. So, you know, what we've seen from the left is they take an inch and then they want a mile. So this gay marriage victory is just, it's not the end of anything. It's just the beginning. It is going to further embolden these folks now. And what I see going from here is that it will, it'll go from an assault on the family and marriage to an assault on religious freedom. And that's what I think these guys are going to start bullying people across the country into doing what they want to do. And I don't care if it's boycotts of Chick-fil-A or forcing Christian bakers to bake cakes. It'll be an assault on the church, which is what they really can't stand, especially Christianity, because they never really talk about the fact that in conservative Judaism, they're really not too keen on homosexuality. And in Islam, I mean, forget about it. I would challenge any one of those gay activists to march into a mosque with their rainbow flags and announce, "We're here, we're queer, and we're here to stay." I can tell you right now, those guys would sit upon their hands,
marry us,
place the black flag, and slit throats.
Well, Sean, listen, you're on to something here. And I appreciate you bringing this up, because I had this in my notes to cover later in the program. But since you brought it up now, you know, the ramifications of the Supreme Court decision yesterday are going to be seismic. Proponents are going to seek, mark it down. You heard it here first from Sean Bergen and James Edwards. Proponents are going to seek to drive Christians and Christian institutions out of education at any levels. They were going to press to force faithful Christian institutions, what few of them are left, and individuals to violate consciences in work practices in a myriad of other ways.
They're going to make them have gay marriages in their church.
Well, that's right. And if they don't, you know, they're going to take away their tax-exempt status. And I think this is good for the church. It's about time for the church to quit retreating and stand up and fight. If they're going to fight, whatever's going to happen to the churches here, and I say this as a Christian, it's going to be better for them to fight and go down and be persecuted. And go underground, you know, Christianity will be practiced underground, then to continue to retreat. But they're going to have no middle ground here. The church will be attacked. This is this is what it's all about. It's an attack on the family. It's an attack on God. It's going to continue. And you're right, Sean. You cannot compromise with these people. As soon as they get their latest victory, they grasp for the next one. And it's just like we saw here in Memphis when we defended the resting place of Nathan Bedford Forrest. They changed. We beat back Al Sharpton, the political cesspool, beat him back in 2005 when he tried to, you know, lead a charge to change the name of the parks. We successfully rebuffed that. They finally did change the names of the park last year. That was supposed to end all hostilities. As long as it wasn't named Forest Park, everything was fine. Well, now, what are they saying? The mayor of Memphis came out on TV a couple of days ago and said, "We're going to dig up the bones of Nathan Bedford Forrest." And desecrate, you know, they want to dig his bones up. Now, this is something exactly like ISIS would do with a foe. I mean, these people are animals. They are godless. They have no honor.
Move his bones and his wife's bones and the statue out. And see, again, it's just like the hate crime legislation. They brought it up in Congress 43 times. It was defeated 43 times. But like the devil, they never sleep. On the 44th try, they finally got it passed.
Final word to you, Sean, and I'm so glad you called in. And like I said, when you have a professional like Sean Bergen, a professional television newsman by trade, always an honor to have his input on the program. Sean, final word.
I think we're in for a very interesting summer, James. I mean, just looking ahead at, you know, all this hoopla around gay marriage and the Confederate flag, I think overshadowed the fact that ISIS pulled off three simultaneous attacks overseas yesterday, pulling off an attack in Kuwait in which a man was decapitated, and then three gunmen opened fire on a beach resort in Tunisia, killing 39 people, many of them British tourists. And then there was a third attack, and I can't recall right now offhand exactly where that was. But I'll tell you something, if gay marriage has ushered in concealed carry in all 50 states, I think there's going to be a lot of American people out there, thankfully, and that are going to be thankful that they have that right to carry a weapon on them, because I see us being in for a very ugly summer of a combination of civil unrest, and this ISIS stuff has me very, very concerned.
A toxic mix, indeed.
And hang on to your guns, folks, because don't think that they're satisfied with all of the victories they've wrapped up in the last two or three weeks between the Supreme Court and everywhere else, exporting this tragic victories they've gained there. They'll be coming for your guns harder than ever before. Thank you so much to Scoop Stanton and Sean Bergen. We'll be back with our next guest right after this.
The Liberty News Radio Network.